Joining us now is the Minister for Children and Green Party leader Roderick O'Gorman. He's in our Leinster House studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
We'll come in a moment to your promised legislation on institutional records. But before we do, can I pick up on a couple of the things mentioned there by Paul? Are you now satisfied that Sinn Féin has explained why it handled the Neil O'Donnell case the way it did?
I'm not fully satisfied. I listened closely to Deputy MacDonald in the House yesterday. I listened to her interview on RTÉ yesterday evening and Deputy Pearse Doherty this morning. I suppose what I'm unclear about is why Deputy MacDonald, when Senator O'Donnell left the party, why so much praise was heaped upon him. Deputy MacDonald made a point about that he was undergoing a mental health crisis at the time. And look, you can understand the desire for compassion for someone in that situation. But in that situation, you say nothing. You don't go out of your way to praise him.
But wouldn't people have asked questions if they hadn't have paid some sort of tribute to him?
It was a detailed and lengthy statement of praise of the deputy, of the senator, of a senator who was at that time basically being told he had to leave Sinn Féin for the very serious act that he'd committed. So it was totally at variance in terms of what was happening internally with the party and the external, facade that they were placing. And I just question, and I do think Deputy MacDonald, like her judgment in terms of that particular statement, coming as his departure from the party did related to such a serious matter, I do think I'm not fully reassured in terms of her judgment on that particular matter.
Well, she said it last night, she said it in the Dáil yesterday afternoon, that she was concerned about Niall O'Donnell's mental health.
Yeah, and I take that at face value, but it would have been very easy for her not to put that detailed statement of praise about the senator when he left the party, because that gives a completely different public understanding of the circumstances in which he was leaving Sinn Féin. He was leaving Sinn Féin, leaving Seanad Éireann, following an extremely serious incident, and Sinn Féin did not in any way bring that to light. And I would say that level of praise that was heaped on the senator by Deputy MacDonald does the exact opposite. It actually sought to conceal what was a very serious incident.
On the other matter we've just been discussing, should Brian Stanley, who remains, as we speak, chairman of the Public Accounts Committee, should he make a statement to the Dáil?
Well, I'd say on the one hand, I'd find it useful to hear from Deputy Stanley, but I'm also very conscious that there's a lack of clarity on the Garda investigation here. I know Sinn Féin have stated they've sent a letter containing texts containing some of the allegations to an Garda Síochána. My understanding is the Garda Síochána are clarifying whether that letter has been received. So what I don't want is any statement made by Deputy Stanley prejudicing such an investigation, or indeed prejudicing the rights of the complainant here.
So might it be helpful then if this matter is just let rest?
It would be helpful for us to understand the status of the complaint to an Garda Síochána by Sinn Féin. I think if there's an active Garda investigation, I think there's probably a case that a statement doesn't take place. If no active Garda investigation is taking place, I think it would be useful to hear from Deputy Stanley.
All right, let's move on to this promised legislation on preserving records from mother and baby homes and other institutions, records that are currently in private hands. Does this mean that these records will have to be handed over to the state?
What it initially means is that it will be an offence to destroy or damage these records. And these are records about, as you say, Magdalen laundries, mother and baby home institutions, also these private orphanages, private nursing homes where many women gave birth to children who were subsequently adopted. The legislation also allows for the Director of the National Archives to request an inventory from the holder of records in terms of what records are held. So this particular piece of legislation is about maintaining these records, keeping them, preserving them, and making sure they're not at risk of damage or destruction.
We heard just a couple of weeks ago from the Special Advocate for Survivors that people born born in mother and baby homes and other institutions are still having difficulty accessing their personal records. Is there anything here that's going to make it easier for them?
Well, the Birth Information and Tracing Act that I brought through the Houses 2 years ago, designed to allow adopted people access to their full birth and early life information, the original copies of their birth cert, over 10,000 people have now used that legislation and have received their birth and early life information. For some of them, they've
gotten
that information.
But you know yourself that others are saying they're being given the runaround, that it's just too difficult to get those records.
And that's why the step we're taking today is important. It's about protecting a wider category of records beyond immediate personal records, but the actual records of these institutions themselves, how they operated, their ledgers, their financial books. It's all about allowing us protect this information so we can have a better understanding of how the institutional regime that operated in so many parts of Ireland for so many decades actually worked.
There has been a broad welcome for this move, but how are you going to ensure that the legislation is enacted before an election is called?
Well, we're bringing this legislation as a committee stage amendment next week to the Maternity Protection Bill. That's the bill that allows for women who are seriously ill defer their maternity leave. We hope to have that passed through the Dáil next week, and we're looking to get a final sitting in the Seanad as early as possible to make sure that this legislation is passed. We see all of the issues in this legislation, the protection of private records, the allowing women defer maternity leave, and a piece we're doing on non-disclosure agreements that they can't be used in an abusive way. We see all these as priorities, and we want to make sure they are all passed and in legislation in advance of the Dáil being dissolved.
There are continuing calls for the extension of the redress scheme for survivors of mother and baby homes. At the moment, as people will know, as listeners will know, it doesn't cover people who spent less than 6 months in an institution. What's your response?
Well, as you know, the body that recommended the ambit, the scale of this particular scheme, had recommended that all people who spent less than 6 months in institutions wouldn't be eligible. I made a change to that and ensured that all mothers, all women who spend time in these institutions as mothers would be able to apply for a payment. 5,200 people have applied for payments so far this year. Just over 2,000 have been accepted for payments, and over €29 million has already been paid out to survivors and former residents. The scheme will be reviewed after a year. That will take place in early next year, and that review will look at the ambit of the scheme, look at the take up, look at the reasons people were unsuccessful. And I think after that review has taken place, I think there's an opportunity to discuss the wider ambit of the scheme.
So you are open then to change?
Well, first of all, it'll be a decision taken by the next government, but we built this review mechanism into the scheme so we could take stock 1 year in terms of how the scheme is operating. And the criteria for that particular review is looking at the reasons why people have been unsuccessful under the scheme.
Can you understand why people who have been excluded feel angry about this? They say the issue isn't how long they spent in an institution, it's the fact that they were separated from their birth family.
Well, since I became Children's Minister, I've worked and I've met with many survivors, many former residents of these institutions, and spoke to and listened to them about their experiences and how they want government to respond. I absolutely recognise there are some former residents, some survivors for whom their exclusion from the scheme for the length of time they spent in there is something that's deeply upsetting to them. What we have sought to do as a government is to bring a range of responses, redress, the Birth Information and Tracing Act that I spoke about earlier on, the legislation that is allowing for the intervention in the site of Tuam and the excavation and the identification of the remains of the children who are interred there, and the bringing forward of the National Centre for Research and Remembrance in Sean McDermott Street, which is being advanced as well. So there were 22 actions set out by government when the Commission of Investigation published its report. We've been advancing every single one of those, looking to meet the range of different needs, different requests from survivors of these institutions. And I'll continue to work to advance that, as I'm doing with this legislation, for as long as I'm in office.
But just specifically and finally on this redress issue, the issue is due before the courts shortly. Is it right that people in this position should feel they have to battle for better treatment?
As I say, we've worked to provide a range of supports for former residents of these institutions. Payments, redress, enhanced medical cards, over 500 of which have already been issued, access to information, and other state services as well. That's part of a tailored package of responses that was agreed following the Commission of Investigations report. But on the issue of redress, as I say, the scheme is to be examined. That's set out within the legislation that established the scheme.
So it whoever's in power in January can look at it again.
There is an opportunity to consider how the scheme has been operated, has been operating in its first year, look at its take up, and of course any government can make decisions about the ambit of schemes as they proceed.
All right, just finally, can we go back to yesterday's statements in the Dáil? Several opposition TDs questioned the government's own record on child protection, especially the number of children missing from state care. Did they have a point?
Well, I spoke in that debate, and what I spoke about was child protection. I spoke about the investment we'd placed in Tuusula, but also the very real issues that have been raised in terms of the very real challenges that Tuusula face in terms of the complexity of care needs of children presenting mm-hmm. to the organisation.
But you do know that there is concern out there about the number of children who've gone missing from state care.
Of course I'm aware, because over the last 2 years we've seen a very significant increase in the number of people, a number of young people presenting to Tuusula, some fleeing the war in Ukraine, some separated children seeking international protection, and Tuusula has had to take very significant steps to provide accommodation for those children. Where a child goes missing from state-provided accommodation, Tuusula works very closely with An Garda Síochána. There is a protocol in operation when a child goes missing from state-provided care. That protocol is being reviewed by the two organisations at the moment, and that's something that I asked them to undertake. And An Garda Síochána also have a targeted operation, Operation Cuisnéim, in terms of targeting potential, targeting anyone who is a potential at risk to children in care.
All right. Roderick O'Gorman, Minister for Children and Green Party leader, thank you for joining us on the News at One.